are trying to suggest that people should not have babies, and I think that's atrocious.
Republican Mike Lee mocked it on the Senate floor, using a picture of Aquaman riding a seahorse to say that's how we'll replace planes to go on flights overseas. Democratic Congressman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez swiped back in a tweet, "If he can be a senator, you can do anything." Fox's Rachel Sutherland live in Washington.
Dave, the Green New Deal didn't get a single yay in the Senate. Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, called the vote a stunt.
With this exercise, the Republican majority has made a mockery of the legislative process.
43 Democrats voted present, while others voted no. 57 senators in all voted against the plan. As the vote approached, Republican Majority Whip John Cornyn said Democrats were running for the hills.
Well, ordinarily, when you propose a piece of legislation around here, you're tickled pink when the majority leader schedules it for a vote.
Senate Democrats expected today to announce a new special committee on climate change. Dave?
Rachel, President Trump's joining Democrats, wanting to make the full Mueller report public.
It could not have been better. It said no obstruction, no collusion.
Democrats say wait. The special counsel did not exonerate him on obstruction. They want the full report by next Tuesday to see the evidence. Jussie Smollett feels vindicated.
Now I'd like nothing more than to just get back to work and move on with my life.
The actor insists he did not stage the hate crime attack he claims he was the victim of, but Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel calls the decision to drop all charges a whitewash of justice.
No explanation as to why the charges against Jussie Smollett were dropped. The assistant state's attorney, Joseph Maggots, claimed that Smollett was treated like a criminal background and was not involved in a violent crime.
That's Trace Gallagher. This is Fox News.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Capple here, serial entrepreneur. Patriot Software provides cloud-based accounting software that is super easy for business owners and powerful enough for accountants. With Patriot's accounting software, business owners can easily invoice customers, receive payments, pay bills, and track the money in and out of their company without needing a college degree in accounting. And with Patriot Software's patent-pending cash-to-accrual toggle switch, the business's accountant can log in, view the books, and make complex entries to ensure the business has accurate financial statements. Easy but powerful. Everybody wins. Go to PatriotSoftware.com, use promo code RADIO, and get 2 months of accounting software free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
House Democrats, who claim President Trump is manufacturing a crisis at the border, were unable to come up with enough votes to override his veto, so his national emergency declaration remains in place.
Those on the border continue to ring the alarm. Customs and Border Patrol tweeted a picture saying Border Patrol recorded more than 37 apprehensions along the southwest border yesterday, the largest single-day total in more than a decade.
Fox's Leland Vitter. The Border Patrol has also temporarily closed highway checkpoints in New Mexico and West Texas to focus on the influx of Central American families arriving here. A Marine murder mystery at a military base in California.
Almost 2 weeks ago, Lance Corporal Riley Schultz was on guard duty at Camp Pendleton, where he was later found dead with a gunshot wound to the head. Schultz's mother told her local paper in Longmont, Colorado, that at first she was told it was a suicide. The next day she was told it was not. The 1st Marine Expeditionary Force has gone silent on the matter. The Navy is investigating. Schultz's body will be flown back to his home state for funeral services next month. Ken Duffy, Fox News.
A soldier who died trying to stop a suicide bomber will get the nation's highest military honor posthumously.
Army Staff Sergeant Travis Atkins was killed outside Baghdad in June of 2007 when he bear-hugged a man wearing a bomb vest, saving his fellow soldiers from harm. While he was originally granted the Defense Service Cross, a review decided Atkins should receive the Medal of Honor. John Valdor was his battalion commander.
And then my role, I think, is to ensure that Travis's heroic actions are never forgotten or diminished.
A ceremony will be held today at the White House to formalize the medal. Atkins was on his second enlistment when he was killed at age 31. Eben Brown, Fox News.
Well, Wall Street stocks could drop at the opening bell. Dow futures are down after a 140-point gain yesterday. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Get ready, Decatur. Corks and Forks, the social event of the spring, returns Thursday, April 19th to the Decatur Conference Center. Enjoy samples of the very best entrees, appetizers, desserts, and more from the area's finest restaurants and caterers, paired with an extensive selection of wines from around the world. Music, games, raffles, a sizable silent auction, and a South American-themed VIP dining event are all on the menu. Get tickets and info at 423-3189 or at DecaturArts.org.
We started Allegiant with a simple goal, so the one person who couldn't travel could. 80 million passengers later, that goal remains the same. Save when you book flights, rental cars, and hotels together only at Allegiant.com. Together, we fly.
Book a nonstop flight from Springfield's Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport to Fort Myers, Punta Gorda at Allegiant.com and experience the sun, fun, and relaxation of Southwest Florida. Find low fares and save big by bundling your flight, hotel, or rental car together for less only at Allegiant.com.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Today we've got sunny skies, highs near 61 degrees. Then for tonight, a 30% chance we could see some showers between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. with lows around 48 degrees. For your Thursday, a slight chance of seeing some showers and then some showers, thunderstorms after 1 p.m. Cloudy and highs near 61. Friday, we're looking at showers once again after 1 p.m. and highs near 60 degrees. It is 29 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, March 27th edition of Byers & Company. In the studios this hour, Jacob Jenkins running for mayor. We'll get to know him, plus Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, good morning and welcome. Hard as it is to believe, the election is next Tuesday. And we are running out of time with our candidates. We've got a couple in today. We have one tomorrow. And then on Friday, we wrap things up. And that will be with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, I believe, is the last guest. And then the only one we haven't heard from is Bill Favor.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of Friday, we'll have had all of the Board of Education candidates, all of the city council candidates, all of the mayoral candidates, and all of the park board commissioner candidates. I know I say this a lot, but I'm always a little frustrated that people aren't paying more attention or people are not going to vote in droves on Tuesday, because the seats we're talking about really have so much impact on your daily life, you know, way more than what happens in Springfield or what happens in Washington, D.C. And it's not that what happens there isn't important. It's just not, you know, it's not your garbage pickup. It's not the police and fire that come to your home if your house is burning. It's, you know, potholes. It's neighborhood revitalization. It's all of these things. You know, it's determined by the seven people that are sitting up there on that city council led by the mayor. So we introduced Jacob Jenkins to you this morning. It's a pleasure to have you here. And first of all, let me just say, I'm delighted that there are a lot of people involved in the process. I like when voters have choices. I think it's always, it makes people who are incumbents better. It makes, it just makes the whole system better. Are you, happy about the number of people that are involved in this council and mayoral race this time around?
Brian, first of all, thank you for inviting me on the radio to, have an open and honest dialogue with you about why I'm running for mayor. I am elated with joy by the amount of candidates that we have seen that bring a diversity of perspectives to this process.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's always the voter wins when there's competition, I believe. So how have you found this? I mean, is this your first foray into running for anything publicly?
This is my first opportunity to run for a political office, and I have I found it very eye-opening being on various debates, being out in the community meeting people, as well as being invited to a number of events where we are discussing very hard and sometimes sensitive issues.
Okay. This country, it seems to be in a mood not to want to discuss hard and sensitive issues. We just sort of draw our flags and you're on this side and I'm on this side and we just throw barbs at each other or we tweet it, which is even worse. It's an ugly place in politics right now. Yet what you're doing here locally is so important. Do you feel like that has filtered down, you know, that cynicism about what's happening in Washington, D.C., down to local politics?
I think from the community standpoint that we have been so embattled in an ongoing political campaign. That's just what it feels like. It feels like we're always in a campaign.
And I think we are. We're already talking about the 2020 presidential.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The major parties have already moved on to 2020 and who's going to be on the ballot. But I think so more so here locally, what I am seeing even from the candidates are we are really having these hard conversations, but they're necessary and they're going to make our community better.
All right, let's start at the beginning. Just give us some background information about you. You moved here when?
Okay, so I moved here in 2009.
Okay.
You know, I came for love like so many people. I had met a wonderful young lady by the name of Jocelyn Wills. We met in college. I was in graduate school. She was undergraduate. And she told me something that a Southern phrase that I had never heard before, that the bees follow the honey. And
I got it. All right. That makes sense.
And I came to the city and I immediately fell in love. I mean, I met salt of the earth people who were hardworking, but who took me in and made me feel like I had lived here my entire life. And that was something that made me at home, because I'm from a very large family. So I have 10 siblings. I was the first in my family to graduate college. I hold both a bachelor's and master's degree. And so when I came in town, you know, I was looking for a job, and I was fortunate enough to find one at Youth Advocate, following my passion as a home interventionist, later with the Boys and Girls Club, where Bruce Jeffries is doing a wonderful job,
yeah. And
be the education coordinator. And then later I got on with the state of Illinois. But that's been more so of my trajectory and path. But being educated, I could have went to a host of cities, but I chose Decatur because in many ways, Decatur chose me.
All right. I think we have a welcoming community.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, people like in our company, you know, move here. It doesn't take long to get integrated or be part of solving problems. No. I mean, sometimes people will say, I'm not heard, but you have to take some steps too as an individual. And I find that people that do that, look, we want the help. We need everybody on this. So I'm glad to hear that. All right, so now you work for the Illinois Department of Human Services.
Correct.
All right, what do you do there?
So I'm a caseworker.
Okay.
So pretty much my day job, which I say when I put on my cape from 8 to 4:30, I'm there and I'm assisting members of our community that have been hit the hardest and may just need some assistance, whether temporary or other, you know, to get back on their feet,
yeah,
and get back in the process.
Okay. So what made you put to the side your role in the community to say, okay, now I want to run for mayor? I mean, that's a big first step.
That is a very big first step. But when you look at it, and it's really, it's more so a numbers game. So when you have more candidates, you have a better breakdown in possibilities of what types of candidate can get in. Because, you know, from a voting standpoint, you're looking at about 10,000 or more votes that are split between the mayor, as opposed to when you're looking at city council and they get three choices. And it's always been about between 5,000 to 6,000 votes.
Yeah.
So, but you don't need 6,000 or 7,000 votes to be mayor.
If there's three or four candidates. Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. I don't mean this in a bad way, and I don't want you to take it that way. No. Are you running to get a message out there and have a conversation? I mean, you got to know it's a long shot. I mean, against incumbent, who can raise money and do all of that and has been known in the community for a long time. I'm not saying you don't want to win. Yeah. I'm saying, did you take this on sort of to create conversations that might not take place if you weren't in the race?
Exactly. And that's what I felt, that it was during this time that there were some critical issues that had to be brought to the forefront, because there wasn't a diversity when it came to diversity of thought, okay, not diversity of race, just when it came to diversity of thought. And so when it comes down to how we spend taxpayers' money, I didn't feel that was being a very open and honest conversation. I didn't feel like it was equal across the board when it comes to inner city neighborhoods, because I had the fortune of sitting on this neighborhood revitalization committee,
okay,
and going through 7 to 9 sessions. And then at the end of it, you know, the city coming up with his own plan and saying, this is what we're going to do.
Okay. So what would you have done differently?
So I think that what I would have done different is I would have had more sessions. This is one of the things that the city said that it could have done better, is that they would have had more people in these sessions that would come from the neighborhoods that would be affected by it. And you know the way that our inner city is made up is that's black and white. So, I mean, black, white, Hispanic, and others. So it's not just a concentration of African Americans that I'm talking about, because, you know, Decatur is now rated as the top city in Illinois that's hit by extreme poverty. So when you're speaking of extreme poverty, that cuts across race.
Sure.
And so I think that we should have had more honest dialogues and more people at the table that were really beginning to really able to look at from a community standpoint on how do we fix this problem without just tearing down houses and leaving more holes in the community.
Yeah, I'm not sure that just the tearing down houses itself. Yeah. I mean, aesthetically, I understand it, but I don't know that it causes any change.
Yeah.
How do you know there's also an apathy with poverty across races, across all demographics. People tend not to be as involved. So, I mean, it's kind of a two-sided conversation. You can have more meetings, but you can't get people to come to the meeting. I mean, you know, it's tough.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with you. But then it comes down to what is the marketing of it?
Yeah.
You know, I was on the Facebook group, but it was a closed Facebook group.
I got you.
So everyone wasn't aware of the information. And then the times that it was being held, you know, when you have people that are working second shift and it's at MacArthur across town, then, of course, I can't be a part of the conversation because it's set for a certain population that has that 8-to-5 job or has that time to be off and can just go between these 2 hours on this night of the week.
Okay. I was reading some of the stuff that you sent to the Herald and Review. You know, they were asking the candidates the questions. You're a fan of the aldermanic form of government.
I am a fan of aldermanic form of government. I understand that it has its problems, but I feel that when you have a population of 76,000 people here and you have a large portion of town that sometimes does not get a voice, then aldermanic government is one of the fair ways of government to where there's what I say, you're able to have a diversity of thought, a diversity of opinion, and have actual true representation from particular areas and only particular areas.
Yeah. Is it harder to build consensus with that, though, and get things done? Because it seems like, I would just throw up something like the United Nations. You know, when everybody has a voice, sometimes nothing moves forward because you spend a lot of time arguing over individual. It's hard to look at a collective sort of 30,000-foot point view of the community. I happen to believe we've got not a jobs problem in this community. We got a problem connecting people to jobs. We got 1,100 jobs sitting out there right now, and we're making progress. Things like the Ag Academy and things that are sending kids down a real path. But can you imagine if a plant or a business said, "We're going to move to Decatur tomorrow and we're going to create 1,100 jobs"? Everybody would be throwing celebrations, right?
Yeah,
we've got problems connecting those kids to those careers. What can you do as a leader in this community, as a mayor of this community, to make sure that kids have a path to employment?
Here is what I would say. I mean, we keep bringing up the 1,100 jobs, but I'm more so interested in knowing, are these highly skilled jobs that require a certain degree of education?
Some are $60,000 a year driving a truck, and you go home every night at 5 o'clock. You don't hit the road. I mean, it's all intermodal stuff with ADM, and they can't find drivers. And there's trucks just sitting in the bays waiting for a $60,000. Now, I don't know about you, but $60,000 to me is a pretty good starting job.
Now, I would definitely agree with you. The $60,000 is a very good starting job. And you know, and if we're literally just trying to fill
that's not
jobs,
it. I'm just saying there's a myriad of jobs that are out there. My frustration lies with the state legislature right now that are looking for revenue streams. You know, to me, legalizing marijuana is the dumbest thing we could do as a people. And I'm not coming from a judgment point of view. I'm also not coming from a criminal point of view. I don't think people should be locked up for drug problems. They should be helped and rehabbed. But the idea that we're just telling kids who can't pass a drug test already that, it's okay. Just go ahead and do it.
Well, this is what we have to understand, that if it's coming to Illinois, which we have seen other states, it come to other states and other states do well. You know, if you look at Colorado, where Colorado was able to reinvest in its schools to where it was able to build up its coffers, to where it was able to address its homeless problems. Right now, we're currently doing some of those things here in Decatur when we're talking about the revenue that comes in for gaming and gambling. And, you know, I was speaking with the mayor last night, and she said that $1.5 million is critical because that means that she gets to hire, you know, 15 police officers that provide critical services to our city. You know, that means that she gets to hire 15 firemen that fire persons that get to, you know, make sure that our cities are safe.
Right.
So we're already
it's a conundrum.
It is a conundrum, but yeah. I'm saying, but we're already doing one. So I don't think it's fair to say.
No, it's not. But I just, the biggest problem we have in employment in this community, and I don't care who you talk to, whether it's Caterpillar or ADM or the hospitals, is people not passing drug tests.
Yeah.
And I just think it sets a horrible tone for the government to go, well, just go ahead and do more drugs.
Yeah. You know, on that one, I mean, I would have to agree to disagree.
Okay, fair enough.
And we can move on.
It's not going to matter because the state's going to do what the state's going
to
do.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that it wouldn't be of a better position to continue in this community, you know, because our mayor, as well as Dave Horn, said that, you know, they are not in favor of it, so they would just want it completely banned.
Well, that's not going to happen either.
But that creates another legal problem.
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay, let's talk about, you know, you have an advanced degree. I asked your opponent yesterday, who's a lifelong educator and a professor, and that's great. But I think public education and higher education have really missed the point over the last 25 years. You go to the IBEW and you talk to them, their median age is 48 and there is no pipeline.
Yes.
And you can get a kid. And I had an executive tell me this story one time that he spent $300,000 on his daughter's education for her to go get a $30,000 a year marketing job. Whereas he could have put her into the trades, she could have made money the whole way, no student debt, me making $100,000 a year. But we said, no, you're better off having a degree in Elizabethan poetry than you are going down a path to employment for a long time. This is what I'm talking about. I want leadership to be able to tell me, I want these kids who maybe, if you tell them they've got to get an advanced degree, maybe they can't see that for themselves. Yeah. But if you tell them they can do this and just hang on till you're 15 or 16 years old and you can start making money and you can start having a real, I think there's a better chance. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy, and I agree with you because I have one of those, you know, advanced degrees, but it's in history.
Yeah, but, you know, and I'm not knocking the advanced degree.
No, I'm saying I agree with you. Yeah. So let me go ahead and finish my point. So I'm saying I agree with you on that. When I consider the education debt that's associated with it, and to know that I could have taken a path of trades and skilled labor and been making $70,000 or $80,000, of course I would have done that. So I would say that from an education standpoint, or from an educator standpoint, we did not get the message out that, you know, that trades and labor is something that is alive and well and that you can thrive in it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad what I see with the Ag Academy, and I want to see more of those things, and I want to see that message get out more in the inner city because, you know, 56% of DPS's population are African Americans.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great message that we can begin to drive home.
But we had to
starting with grade school.
Absolutely.
That these jobs are available.
Absolutely. And ADM stepped up big time for the grade school level. This is feeding into that system. And I was told there's 50 plus students enrolled in the Ag Academy for freshman year next year. But here's the first thing we learned, Jacob. I mean, I knew we had to educate the kids. I had no idea how much we had to educate the parents. Because when we started talking about Ag Academy, what we heard from African Americans in particular is we don't own land, we're not farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Farming is like 1% of the agribusiness. And we are in the agribusiness capital of the world. And the idea that no one decided to connect kids to these careers that are here. It's the largest economic driving force in all of the state of Illinois. It's a sin that it didn't take place for 20, 30, 40 years.
Well, this is what I'll say. You know, you have a population of people who came, you know, out of the South, and they came here for very good jobs.
Manufacturing.
And the jobs paid very well.
Yep.
And they said that you literally could be, you could leave one job one day and be hired the next day at another place. So that's the type of place that Decatur was, an abundance of jobs that paid well, that people can retire from. But now what we're seeing is that their grandchildren are now making $15 an hour, or $13 an hour in that same factory. So there's a generation that you speak of, that I know of, that went to college and didn't pass on that message because they took the other route. So now what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring back and recover a message that, yes, this is a viable career path for you that does not bring with it the educational debt.
Okay. The mayoral position is one of building consensus. Talk to me about your personal skills there. I don't know you. But I mean, the job of the mayor, at the end of the day, you're one vote.
Yeah,
but the power of the office is getting to drive the agenda and getting other people on that council to sort of back you so that you have the votes to actually accomplish something.
Yeah, understood. And, you know, I think that's something that I'm really good at. I'm good at building consensus. I do it every day through my union. You know, I'm a union president. And so we are made up of about 5 to 7 different agencies, a smaller group of about less than 300 people. But at the end of the day, it does come down to a consensus on our board. And our board is diverse because it's made up of members from VHS, from DCFS. And so that's something that I think that I've done very well, is helped to build a consensus, especially for those things that I'm passionate about, but as well as providing a listening ear and an opportunities for others to talk about the things that they are passionate about.
Okay. Tell me about your involvement with the Black Chamber of Commerce, because I've had great meetings with them in helping with this Ag Academy. I mean, everybody wants to get involved. The exciting thing is it's like when you bring a good idea, everybody can get in and have buy-in, and that's fantastic. Talk about the work you're doing to inspire young kids, particularly African-Americans, you know, that a career in business is a possibility.
So our president, Tamara Fuller, has done an excellent job, and along with Corey Walker, of making partnerships with the Ag Academy and others that are going to put African Americans on a positive and successful path. And Ag Academy is just one of those.
That's just one example. Yeah, but I know that,
you know. And so what we do is, you know, we have a gardening program with Emma's Gardens. The other thing is every year we send 30 college kids away to schools all across the United States with everything they need for their trunks. You know, you may think that, you know, that's not a really big deal, but when parents don't have all of that extra money, I mean, it really does make a difference in their lives. So those are just a few of the things that we're doing. The other thing we do is we work with ex-felons who have paid their debt to society, and we help them because the laws have changed now in Illinois to where their records can be sealed and expunged. So we work with them through Land of Lincoln up in Champaign.
Okay. And if folks are interested in joining the chamber, I mean, there's benefits to being a part of it.
Yeah.
And are you the chairman? Is that?
Yeah, I'm the chairman of the Greater Decatur Black Chamber.
Okay.
Of
all right. Just want to make sure. Okay. So we've got a couple of minutes left here. What do you want to talk about? You know, if you've got, you know, thousands of people right now, you know, what's your message? Why should you be mayor of Decatur?
I think I should be your mayor because our city now sits at a crossroads, and we are in need of what I consider new leadership. It's a great time to live in Decatur. There are so many exciting things going on with the downtown renovation, with everything happening at the lake. But there are some critical issues and some critical conversations that have to be had. And it's going to take a diversity of thought as well as those at the table that can make that happen. And I'm excited about having an opportunity to lead that charge. Like Brian Byers has said, we need a consensus when it comes to getting a real agenda and pushing agenda that will have the greatest impact on our city. And I believe I'm the man to do it. So on April the 2nd, I'm asking you to vote for me, Jacob Jenkins, for mayor, and I'm number 3 on the ballot.
That's a pretty good commercial. You just wrote that right off
the
top
I'm
of
impressed.
His head. Okay. Here's the thing I would also encourage you to tell folks as you're out spreading your message. You know, people have to get involved, too. It's not all just a one-sided conversation. You know, the mayor and the council, these people aren't doing it for the money. I start the day believing that just about everybody involved in this is trying to do the right thing or wanting to help, or else they wouldn't be putting themselves through this. It's a lot of work. There's not a lot of financial reward, but citizens have to get involved too. And starting with Tuesday and voting. I mean, it's not hard to do.
Yes.
I mean, the access is there.
Yeah.
You know, early voting, all of the things that we have. So if you want to say what your government looks like, then you got to actually show up Tuesday and be counted.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. And early voting has already started, and we are doing a huge push in what I consider the inner city. And you know, like, that's not a Black thing, but we just want young people to get out. And so we know the polls are open. You can go to 141 South Main Street, take your ID, register and vote the same day. It takes less than 5 minutes. This is a critical election. There are a bunch of great candidates on the ballot.
Jacob Jenkins, pleasure. Thank you for being in. We're going to take a break for the news. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Shiler with your stories now. Thanks to an anonymous generous donation of $300,000, the Community Foundation of Macon County has created the Community Engagement Grant Program. The program will distribute grants up to $10,000 in community grants over the next 3 years for not-for-profit organizations. The funding priority for the 2019 grant cycle is education and youth programs. Interested agencies can contact the Community Foundation for more information. Illinois lawmakers are working on creating a harsher penalty for people who cause serious injury to another person while texting and driving. Under the proposal, a driver who causes great bodily harm to another while distracted by using a phone or other electronic device would face a $1,000 fine and a year without a license. Currently, the penalty is $75, along with other punishments for dangerous driving. Republican Phil Tibbs will announce his candidacy today for the Macon County State's Attorney. Tibbs is a former prosecutor who graduated from Southern Illinois University School of Law. Current state's attorney Jay Scott announced in February that he would not seek re-election for a third term. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Chicago's mayor and police chief oppose prosecutors' decision to drop criminal charges against the actor Jussie Smollett, accused of lying about a hate crime attack.
Smollett forfeited his $10,000 bond to the city, but Mayor Rahm Emanuel doesn't buy it.
$10,000 doesn't even come close to what the city spent in resources.
Emanuel called it a whitewashing of justice, while Smollett still claims he's innocent.
Fox's Michelle Polino. Utah's governor signs a law banning most abortions after 18 weeks and requiring a 72-hour waiting period after consultation. That'll be challenged in court.
Meanwhile, in North Carolina, a federal judge overruling a state law that bans the procedure after the 20th week, except in the event of harm to the mother or rape. And in D.C., Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announcing a plan to expand the Mexico City policy, which keeps $9 billion in U.S. taxpayer aid from going to foreign groups that promote or provide abortions abroad.
That's Kevin Battle. This is Fox News.
The Decanter Fine Wines and Spirits offers a wide selection of both wine and spirits to suit all tastes. Weekly wine tastings from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Friday and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
The March Wines of the Month are a 2017 Indaba Sauvignon Blanc and a 2017 Indaba Mosaic, both from South Africa.
We offer excellent service and expertise on wine pairings that is unmatched by the competition. Go to thedecanterfinewines.com for more information. The Decanter, excellence and expertise. 215 North Main Street, downtown Decatur.
Traveling for business? Stretch the time you have at home by hopping on a fast flight from Decatur Regional Airport to St. Louis, starting at just $29 each way. Or fly to Chicago with fares starting at just $59 each way. Cape Air will have you there in an hour so you can skip the drive and arrive at your meeting refreshed. Or make easy connections through St. Louis Lambert International or Chicago O'Hare to wherever you need to go. Enjoy free parking and hassle-free travel when you fly out of Decatur. Book at capeair.com or call 1-800-CAPE-AIR. Fare subject to availability. Some restrictions apply. Visit capeair.com for details.
Hi, I'm Tom Brinkotter, and I sell homes for a living. You might say, I sell Decatur for a living. And what a difference a few years has made. Decatur is in a renaissance. Just look at downtown. It's a business community reborn. Restaurants and shops are thriving, and that helps to increase property values in the city as a whole.
But neighborhood revitalization is more than just tearing down homes. It's about building up our community as a whole. This is Reverend Courtney Carson. I'm proud of the work we're doing to make Decatur a better place for all of our people. Partnering with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we're getting the job done. I hope you'll vote for her on April 2nd.
I know I will. Decatur is moving in the right direction. We need to keep the progress going. Join Reverend Carson and I and vote to re-elect Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
We most certainly thank God for Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. Decatur family, stay blessed and productive, and let's get out and vote April 2nd for our Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
This message paid for by Friends of Julie Moore Wolf.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today we've got sunny skies, highs near 61 degrees. Then for tonight, you can expect a 30% chance we'll see some showers, mainly after 11 p.m. with lows around 48 degrees. Thursday, a slight chance of showers. Could even see some thunderstorms, cloudy, and highs near 61. Friday, showers after 1 p.m., highs near 60. It is 31 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Wednesday, March 27th edition of Buyers & Company. Time now for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. He joins us each and every weekday morning. All right, let's start with college hoops.
There's a lot going on in the college basketball world right now, and more than just the results of the NCAA tournament. This is the time of year when there's always a lot of coaching changes. guys get fired. A lot of rumors about coaches moving to new jobs. There's player movement, either players announcing they're going to transfer or that they will turn pro. One change happened in the Big Ten yesterday. Nebraska fired its head coach, Tim Miles, after 7 years. He was the most popular coach in the Big Ten in terms of just people loved to be around him. He was hysterical. He was basically a stand-up comedian who was also, I thought, a pretty good coach. When he would arrive at media day, I mean, people, you didn't want to miss his show. It was good. And Nebraska had very high expectations this year, but they lost one of their best players, Isaac Copeland, in January, and things kind of collapsed. Nebraska did make the NIT, but they were eliminated over the weekend. It is hard to, at a school that is so strongly identified as a football school, and that's the case with Nebraska. But they will now apparently go after former Iowa State and Chicago Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg, a guy who in the past has admitted he does not like recruiting. So I don't know how he reconciles all that, but that's apparently the plan. I think it's interesting that UCLA has still not hired a head coach after firing Steve Alford on New Year's Eve. That is a long time for that job to be open, one of the higher profile jobs in the country. But a job where the fan base and the administration, I think, still believes they should win at the John Wooden level, you know, 10 national championships, and Steve Alford never got past the Sweet 16. Maybe the most interesting moment in the NCAA tournament was that harrowing close call Duke experienced against Central Florida. And after the one-point Duke win, there was an emotional moment between Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski and Central Florida coach Johnny Dawkins. Of course, those guys go way back. Johnny Dawkins was an All-American guard for Coach K at Duke in the mid-80s. And one day, Coach K will retire. He is 72 right now. And I think a lot of people, when they watch that embrace between the two, wondered if Johnny Dawkins has elevated himself to be the front runner for the Duke job once it does open. It seems to me it will be a Duke former player, maybe Steve Wojciechowski at Marquette. But Johnny Dawkins is a pretty popular guy. He's also been mentioned, however, with the Vanderbilt opening. Vanderbilt fired Bryce Drew, and once Bryce Drew got fired, so did his assistant coach Roger Powell, former Illini with that 2005 team. So that's kind of an interesting one to watch as well. The NCAA tournament resumes with four games tomorrow. First out of the box at 6:09, Florida State against Gonzaga.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little baseball with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
Want to be your own boss? ADM Trucking is now hiring local and over-the-road owner-operators. We are paying $1.15 per mile plus fuel surcharge. Come join our team of professional drivers. To apply, applicants must have 1 year of recent driving experience, be at least 21 years of age, and have tank endorsement. If you're interested, call Debbie Sarko at 217-424-5686. That's 217-424-5686. Or visit adm.com/careers.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, baseball.
Well, as we've said many times, most of the Major League Baseball teams open the season tomorrow, including the Cubs and Cardinals. The Cubs open in Texas against the Rangers. The Cardinals open in Milwaukee against the Brewers. So who is going to win the various divisions this year, and who is going to win the World Series this year after the Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in five games last year? ESPN polled its, 31 baseball experts and asked them to pick each division winner in both leagues and the likely wild card teams and who will win in the World Series. And there are three divisions in the American League and three in the National League, and there appears to be great disparity in four of the six divisions. The two divisions that have seem to have a clear consensus are the American League Central and the American League West. 28 of the 31 pick Cleveland to win the American League Central. The other three picked the Minnesota Twins, and in the American League West, 28 votes went to the Houston Astros, with two going to the Oakland A's and one to the Angels. The American League East is really split. 16 believe the Yankees will unseat the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox won 108 games last year. 14 believe that Boston will prevail. When you look at that, I can understand the split there. I would expect a six-month brawl in the American League East. In the National League, The most lopsided division appears to be the National League West. 24 experts picked the Dodgers, who have been in the World Series each of the last 2 years. Six like the Colorado Rockies and one like the Padres. The other two National League divisions are viewed as wide open. In the National League East, 13 votes go to the Washington Nationals, 11 to the Phillies with Bryce Harper, 5 to Atlanta, and 2 to the Mets. And in the National League Central, 12 favor the Cubs, 10 favor the Brewers, 9 like the Cardinals. Man, that is about as wide open as you could get. And in terms of the World Series, they like Houston and the Dodgers to play for it, and they like Houston to win the World Series for the second time in 3 years. That's all fine and good. It's all speculation. And tomorrow we get going for real. I can't wait.
All right, my friend. We will talk to you first thing in the morning. Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. We're going to take the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally indicated for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee. The official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
It's the 17th Macon County Casa Playhouse Raffle. Each year, two themes are chosen for the playhouses. This year, the playhouses are a castle called the Castle Casa and a super cute cottage called the Charleston Single House. Tickets available online at MaconCountyCasa.org or see sponsor locations. Houses will be showcased at Central Park in downtown Decatur beginning Monday, March 25th. And the drawing will be held live at the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce Business Expo on Thursday, May 2nd. Please support the 2019 Casa Playhouse Raffle.
Milliken and Richland have over 180 degrees. 180 degrees ain't enough to bake a pizza, but it's enough to get you a slice of the pie. You can do it! Limitless Decatur. Know it! More bang for your buck. Decatur is the most affordable housing market in the country. That's more money for pillows, baby. Ha ha! Limitless Decatur. Know it! It's not poor old Decatur. Decatur has the highest hourly wages in the region. Higher than Bloomington Normal, Champaign Urbana, Springfield, and Peoria. Cha-ching! Limitless Decatur. Know it! Boss not buying, you got stuck by a train again? Listen, Chief. There's over 8,000 rail cars a day rolling through Decatur. That's big business, baby. Woohoo! Limitless Decatur. Know it!
I'm Jessica Whitlock. I'm Director of Marketing at BLDD Architects. Well, Decatur Blue helps BLDD Architects with both our blueprinting needs and our digital storage of those blueprints, as well as any of our marketing needs that go along with the business. One of the reasons that we stay with Decatur Blue is because I know that they'll always make it happen, regardless of how crazy the request is or how outside of the box, that they will work with us to make it happen. Our experience with Decatur Blue's turnaround time is that we can always count on them to meet our deadlines, to go above and beyond, whether it's to work extra over the weekend or to stay late. If we give them a deadline, they'll always meet it for us. Decatur Blue's staff is unique in that they've all been there for so long. It's like working with a family. They all know each other. They've been there for as long as I've been there. No one ever leaves Decatur Blueprint. They stay there and work forever. And so you can count on the type of people that you're going to work with. You know who to call for specific things. And they're just awesome people. They've become a part of our business's family, too.
Make Decatur Blue part of your business's family, too. 423-7589 or visit them at DecaturBlue.com.
Stories for you are available each and every day at NowDecatur.com. Brought to you in the month of March by St. Teresa High School. Hear podcasts, check out videos and photo galleries, and stay on top of what's happening in Decatur and Macon County. We go everywhere you are with the free Now Decatur app on iTunes and Google Play. All of this is brought to you in the month of March by St. Teresa High School, a winning tradition. Learn more about St. Teresa High School by clicking their link at NowDecatur.com.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith.
Do you ever get a headline where you just think, okay, there's no way that can be true?
Sometimes.
Woman gives birth to twins with different dads after cheating on husband.
Yeah.
read that yesterday.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. It is a possibility. It's, and you know what the strange thing is? It's not even the first time I've heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that with DNA, I mean, the world has changed in a lot of ways in a very short period of time.
It was, I mean, if she hadn't, there's a very good chance she would have still had twins, because in order to do that, they're obviously fraternal. There was two eggs released, meaning there's a chance for two eggs.
I'm going
to
do the guy thing right now and go.
Okay.
Okay.
Identical twins are from one egg. The egg splits. So they share DNA.
Okay.
Fraternal twins are because there are two eggs released into the uterus, meaning there's a chance for both eggs to be fertilized.
I'm really uncomfortable right now.
I'm using very scientific terms. I'm not using...
I didn't mean the language. I just meant the conversation in
general. So, meaning if she...
Okay, now let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound like a simple guy question in this conversation.
Okay.
How far apart were the encounters?
Population. This can happen up to 3 days.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, see, I would have thought like it would have been like a secret date out and then go home and... You know.
No, okay. It can happen up to 3 days.
All right, so it really isn't, when you break it down scientifically, all that crazy.
Yeah, I mean, rare from three, but yes, it's that.
And how do you know all of this just out of curiosity?
Because I'm a wealth of knowledge. Can I say?
Now, we know that's not true.
I am.
Okay. Generally, your knowledge is because you've worked 7,000 jobs.
That makes me sound really bad.
No, you were hungry and young, and you moved to the West Coast.
Literally hungry.
Yeah.
Like, had no money.
Ramen noodles, and so you'd go do, you had like six jobs at a time
yeah.
or whatever. But you always have like the law office, the construction company, the veterinarian.
Yeah.
You've always got all these stories based on life experience, which is great. And it's very interesting.
I'm very familiar with reproductive
Your
health.
Explanation of it is far less exciting than the headline.
I agree. What I thought was funny was there was no suspicion from this man until the babies were born. He goes, that one doesn't look like me.
That's it?
That is why he demanded a paternity test. I'm sorry, babies don't look like anything. They look like ugly old wrinkly men.
No. You got to use the Robin Williams description when describing babies.
Oh, what is it?
Little old men dipped in 40 weight.
Yes. That's.
In this case, two of them.
Yes. I mean, oh, that one I like. That one doesn't look like me.
Okay.
And it turns out.
So it's not as far-fetched as the headline makes
it sound.
It's
really, I mean, it is a rare occurrence, but it can happen.
But is it a rare occurrence or is it just not necessarily tested? I mean, would most, okay, let me just give you this as an example. This mm-hmm. is in China, by the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their health system's like. But let's say you're pregnant with twins
mm-hmm.
and you go to the hospital and you give birth. Mm-hmm. Am I going, well, hey, check and make sure both of those are mine.
Exactly. It's probably not as common because of that. And there's also, I mean.
And it's not just twins.
Yes.
Hello, royal family.
That
the whole world went, he looks like the bodyguard.
Diana, that ginger doesn't look like me.
All right. I thought the headline was pretty wacky, but now that you break it down for me, not as much.
It's not, yeah. No, I mean, and, you know, twins, fraternal twins are not all that uncommon either.
Right.
So, I mean, identical is less common, but.
Okay. We'll take the break. We'll come back. Sad news for music fans. Got a special request. I know I asked for Rolling Stones bump music, but there was a passing away of, if you're of a certain age, this will harken back to a different time. It really will. We'll tell you all about it on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. Here's Lindsay with your 3-day forecast.
Today we've got sunny skies, highs near 61 degrees. Tonight, 30% chance of showers, mainly between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. with lows around 48 degrees. Thursday, got a slight chance of showers, maybe some thunderstorms in the afternoon, however, with highs near 61. And Friday, showers likely mainly after 1 p.m., highs near 60 degrees. It is 31 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Hello, this is Mike King from Merry Man Herbs. We are open daily and serving the Decatur area for over 40 years. We've had the privilege of helping our customers get healthy and learn about the benefits natural products and supplements have to offer. As a local business owner, I know the importance local dollars play in helping your community and family-owned businesses like ours. For every $100 spent, 68 of those dollars go back into our community. This year, Merry Man Herbs and New Op Media encourage you to visit the businesses owned by your friends and neighbors like Merry Man Herbs. Shop local, buy local, and enjoy the savings and value when you shop at Merry Man Herbs.
Behind every great movement, there's a bright idea. Someone has a great idea. They tell others and it grows. The bright idea behind our community bank is that we keep the money working in the local area where it can help other local businesses and families grow. Scott State Bank. Together we grow. Member FDIC. Customer focused, community driven, committed to you since 1887.
If you don't have the Now Decatur app yet, go ahead and download it for free right now. You can enjoy the latest Byers & Company podcast, brought to you by Jerger Pediatric Dentistry. Full hourly podcasts are available on demand.
I am giving you some control.
In addition, you'll find digital exclusives only available via the podcast, brought to you by Jerger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. Download the Now Decatur app today so you can get the latest Byers & Company podcast whenever you want.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
The Decanter Fine Wines and Spirits offers a wide selection of both wine and spirits to suit all tastes. Weekly wine tastings from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Friday and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
The March Wines of the Month are a 2017 Indaba Sauvignon Blanc and a 2017 Indaba Mosaic, both from South Africa.
We offer excellent service and expertise on wine pairings that is unmatched by the competition. Go to thedecanterfinewines.com for more information. The Decanter, excellence and expertise. 215 North Main Street, downtown Decatur.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Sad news for 80s music fans. Ranking Roger died at the age of 56 yesterday. And if you were a fan of what was known as the Beat in England and the English Beat in America and Canada and the British Beat in Australia, that band had three different names. And then later, of course, that song, General Public.
Yes.
They juxtapose the success of the Rolling Stones versus something iconic from the 80s. The English Beat only did three albums.
Yeah.
And then he went on to do two albums with the General Public, and then they came back and had a couple of comebacks. But it was a sound of the 80s
yes.
that is so ingrained, whether it was like John Hughes movies or any movie made afterwards, like looking back on the 80s, you insert a Beat song in there, and you are instantly transported back to the
90s. I have at least three on my workout playlist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The very first, one of the very first ska bands, and they also... I don't know. I mean, it was, but you had two singers. The lead vocalist was Ranking Roger. His name was Roger Charlery. And he was born in 1963, and Ranking Roger was his sort of stage name. And it was literally the Beat and then the General Public, and he had like the weird stripes in his hair. And he evidently had brain tumors and lung cancer discovered in January, and... Yeah, you know, you kind of think maybe sometimes that's a blessing in disguise. You fight that stuff or live a horrible life for years. But, man, is that music just happy music or what?
I know.
That was it. I actually, by the way, this is an interesting fact that this is why you listen to the show. This moment, this little nugget right here is why you listen. Do you know when they formed General Public after the 1983 breakup of the Beat? Do you know who else was in General Public?
Who?
Two members of Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Actually, I knew that.
The worst song that Come On Eileen or whatever. Yeah. And then Rachel's back. There's got that millennial snob thing going on.
Whenever I started playing Tenderness, she goes, oh, I know that song.
Okay. Ask your mom.
She knows, surprisingly, she has a very old music that she likes.
Are you doing a Christopher Walken thing? Or is
yeah,
it just,
I was having a moment.
Okay. She has.
An old
way of, yeah, that song,
Mirror in the bathroom. You do a little bit of that. Can you pull up mirror in the bathroom? There was just something about the time, right? The police brought a little ska, right? But that beat, you know, way before Gwen Stefani, you know, way before any of sort of the bands of the last 15 or 20 years with the ska stuff. I don't even know if it was called ska at that point. But they had that sound that was just different than anything else on the radio. All right, ranking Roger, and by the way, ranking a very British thing. It's short for top ranking or high ranking, and that was a very boastful sort of thing with MCs of the time, right? So ranking Roger meant he was top billed. And in the beat, there was also, I believe, Ranking Junior, Fuzz Townsend, Oscar Harrison, Andy Pearson, several of them, including the guy that he went on to team up with to do General Public, who was the co-vocalist along with him. Dave Wakeling is his name. So he was like the blonde guy.
Yeah.
So you had the white guy and the African-American guy, and everything was very happy. I just love that music. And even though it's been a long time since any of them have been relevant in my life, I was just really sad when I read that story today. And there's really no reason, right? Did you ever do that? Someone you've never met. Someone, you have no idea what kind of human being they were. You have no clue as to, but you just go, oh, that's sad. Because it's such a happy place in your head where that music comes from. And I'm like you. I still have it on playlist. Do you ever wonder, by the way, do you ever look at like your Apple playlist like to see the most played? I mean, do you ever like do like the music that you listen to the most?
Well, I use Spotify, so it actually will create an album for me every month saying this is what you...
And I find that mine would still be very old stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably are much more open-minded to new music than I am.
I will always. There's different options. Like, it'll give me, okay, this is some suggestions for you, and I find stuff all the time. And then there's a lot of stuff I'm like, I hate today's music right now, particularly what is kind of being used as hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Really hate it. It's kind of slack-jawed rhyming.
I get it.
Rhyming,
if you really want to go to check out the beat, or the British beat, or the English beat, depending on where you lived in the world. The 1981 release of Whapnin. That's one
Whapnin.
Word. W-H-A apostrophe P-P-E-N. That's a great album. Ranking Roger, dead at the age of 56. And I don't think it's an age thing, by the way. That's way too young. But I'm not one of those people. You know what I never do? I never, ever, 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 ever look at the obituaries.
You know, I really don't either. Maybe that's something that happens with age.
No, I think people are gravitate towards it the older they get.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just
like
saying.
Coach reads them religiously.
Oh, well, that's probably the first thing he looks at. I don't know. I've got a different philosophy on that whole thing. I'm not saying it's the right one. Just think, you know, I was just sad to hear that Frankie Rogers yesterday. So play a little English beat today, your workout, your whatever. It'll make you happy, I promise you. They had that weird kind of clap thing, too.
In tenderness,
yeah. Yes, which is really contagious. All right, our final round of the WSOYMCA Challenge, this go-around, is today. There'll be a video up a little later this evening. We're going to be outside running. I'm very excited about this.
I am happy about this.
Being outside, you have no idea. I've worked out outside for a very, very long time.
Kind of looking forward to a run.
Yes. And then we will start anew with brand new cast members on April 15th. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will tell you about what happened at the school board last night. Beth Nolan and Tim Hickey from O'Shea Construction will be in, and Rodney Walker, who's running for city council. Stories and news coming your way next.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The state is considering ways to profit from your Netflix bill.